Good morning. Today is Thursday, June the 22nd. Joining us this morning from College of the Redwoods, Marty Quello. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good, good, good. So you're still working even in the summertime? I think that's almost a misnomer now, particularly for colleges and universities.
Our faculty are fortunate. They get the summer off, but
No summer school?
Well, that's true. We do have summer classes, so we do have faculty that are teaching there.
There you go. Our quote this morning comes from Euripides. The good and the wise lead quiet lives.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Keeps you out of trouble.
Yeah. Or tries to, as much as we can. I don't think in the however many years, ever talked about the foundation, the CR Foundation. A little bit about alumni, but not about what the foundation is or where it came from. And I'm a little too young to remember back when the fundraising was going on for the school itself in the early 60s.
Yeah, I mean, the foundation had quite a heyday during the 70s and going into the 80s. It definitely had its downturn time, and we're rebuilding it. But it is a historical institution, really, within our community. We're managing around $5 million in funds. We're providing several hundred scholarships every semester to our students. I mean, I think the important thing is the end game is, can we set this up where anyone and everyone who comes to College of the Redwoods can walk away without being in debt? Now, is that achievable or not? I don't know, but I think it's worth having that type of goal to shoot for, and setting up the scholarships and the internships and the financial aid packages so people don't walk out owning a mortgage to a house or a car, right?
Well, I would think that laudable goal is a tough one because the target keeps changing. You know, the per class fees bump, whatever. Okay, now all of a sudden that's times however many students. It's not a constant figure or a constant target. With that as a backdrop, do you have an idea? You know, with that scenario, with that goal, what the dollar sign would be?
No, not offhand. I think that's one of the things we got to work towards is see what sort of resources it would take to provide that type of support. I mean, one of the things that's interesting about Humboldt County is just the history of generosity and volunteerism that's in this community. When I worked with the American Cancer Society and Relay for Life, we were one of the top 10 largest events in the world. So the amount of support that you can get in Humboldt County is pretty remarkable.
Yeah, it's out there if the cause is one that tickles people's fancy.
Yes, exactly.
And I suppose that's the trick, is to make sure that somebody's fancy is being tickled.
Well, I think in this case, given 180,000 people have gone through College of the Redwoods since 1964, we have a population that is very supportive of the college.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Marty Quello. Marty, before the break, you'd mentioned the alumni.
Yes.
What is the distinction between, or the delineation between, the foundation and their efforts and the alumni and what that outreach typically is?
Well, we define an alumni as anyone who's taken a class at College of the Redwoods. So it's not a matter of graduating with an associate's degree or a certificate. It's just a matter that you came and took a class at College of the Redwoods. So, like I said before, we've had 180,000 people come through the college. So our alumni base is pretty large. Now, our alumni association has not been active for several years now. We're in the process of rebuilding that. And then we have activities that do pull in our alumni. So we have our upcoming celebrity dinner and sports auction on August 10th, where we're recognizing Dave Mone, and the alumni come out in force, and they're extremely generous and very involved in the campus. And I think if you talk to anybody that has gone to school here, they have very fond memories. There just seems to be a bond between our students and our faculty and staff that just will go out of the way to ensure that people can get through all the hoops, get into school, and stay in school.
So the foundation isn't student-driven, it's more community-driven?
It is community-driven. So our foundation board is made up of volunteers from the community, and it is dedicated to raising those funds to support the various endeavors of the college.
Things like gap funding for projects, or let's say the foundation generates $10 million extra dollars in a five-year window. You mentioned scholarships was one of the areas.
That is the primary area.
That's the primary. Yeah. So it has nothing to do with infrastructure or new, like the library. The foundation wasn't involved with that, or the renovation of the sports complex. The foundation isn't involved with that, or any of these other things that we hear about.
A lot of those projects are funded by state funds that are coming out. So the foundation in general oversees our auxiliary properties. So that would be our residence halls, our bookstore, our dining facilities. They also are focused on raising as much money for endowment fund so that we can invest it and use that interest to fund scholarships.
The bookstore has always been an enigma, I guess, for me.
It's a changing business.
Yeah, I mean, you've got the books themselves, which I've always thought, whether it's a large one or a small campus, that ought to be the place where, particularly in a community like ours that really doesn't have a new bookstore. I mean, if Costco's your bookstore or Safeway's your bookstore,
well, thank goodness for our independent books retailers here.
Right, and we've got some of those folks, but most of them are selling used.
Yes.
Okay, or very, very narrow niche, not the general stuff. That a bookstore on campus literally could be the research library for a lot of folks. If I wanted to find out a book about, let's say, botany, local plants, I'd go there instead of your favorite internet-based store, and have a connection to the schools that had those types of programs. So you could get really specific if you wanted to. Or like Botany 1, you know, the broad-based, you know, Botany 1 for Humboldt County. Boom, there it is, or Delaware County, California, whatever it might be. That would be the first place to go to, well, rather than the afterthought. And I know there's physicalness and constraints that way, buying merchandise. You know, I don't know if you wear any pro team.
Yeah, we do sell our CR branded wear through our bookstore, but I mean the bookstore through time continues to shrink. More and more resources are going online. There's a greater push through academia to ensure that there are free resources online. I don't think anyone is particularly happy about the $300, $500 textbook. I think it'd be a rare faculty member or staff person that said to you they thought that was a fair price. So this concept of trying to ensure that there are free resources for our students to learn once again and not go into debt is something that the college very much pursues.
And I suppose because you guys have got state standards, it's different than the Pabstein way.
Okay,
if you're studying plants, we buy the 1995 California Wildlife Manual or Wildflower Manual.
You don't need
not
the
from
newest
the Audubon
edition.
Society, but from their equivalent in the Plant Society. Boom, and that becomes our base reference textbook.
Right.
Not this $400 item that's pushed out by the textbook manufacturers. No, you got a couple of real simple things like that that are workable, usable, going to hold on to after class documents and in publications. And then everything else is real life lecture or internet-based research.
Yeah, I think that's why those companies that have built the business around selling used textbooks have grown so rapidly. There usually isn't radical changes from edition to edition, and people have gotten wise to that and used their resources appropriately. We take the newest textbooks and put them in the library so that students can check them out for free. We try to find any creative means possible so that somebody doesn't have to necessarily go out and spend those funds.
So what is the function of the bookstore then with that backdrop?
Well, there are certain books that it's just easier to have on hand and ready to go for students. And when they are starting their classes, there's printed materials that need to be distributed to students up front. So it still serves a purpose.
Kind of like the workbook.
Right. Okay. It just seems to be one of those things that's slowly seeing its better day.
It's 8:30.
Do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Marty Quello from College of the Redwoods. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. Marty, what are some of the changes that are going on? At the high school level, we hear some cool stuff like the Innovate and the Rising Stars and Decade of Difference and that kind of stuff. But everybody is sharing that there's partnering going on now between the high schools and College of the Redwoods.
You know, yes.
Whether it's the Humboldt or the Del Norte campus, that it's coming together, so to speak, in a logical way. What would be some of the biggest surprises that folks who aren't aware of what's going on would think was really kind of cool?
Well, I think there's a lot of partnership happening between the county, the K-12, Humboldt Area Foundation, HSU, CR, all trying to work together in various organizations and groups and committees to try to ensure that the pathway from kindergarten through college is available. And not just through college, but are there other skill-based trainings that students can go to outside of high school? Can they just continue their education, gain a more extended skill base? I mean, when Marla was here a month ago talking about the career technical education out at our college. The state is putting a lot more dollars into that because they realize we are losing our skilled workforce, and we're going to be in a very challenging situation, not only in California, but across the country, because we just do not have the people going into those positions.
How tough is it to get a 4-year school language and a 2-year school language and the K-12 language, and then outside, so everybody's kind of communicating on the same wavelengths and understanding what the common goals are?
Well, I think there's been a lot of progress in that area, and I think that's one component that's going into play. The other component is how can we partner with businesses more? So the foundation is starting to focus on building out our internship programs. It really is critical that local businesses look at investing and growing their own employees. I think if you go out there and talk to anybody who's running their business here, what they're going to tell you is, I can't find employees. I can't find employees with the skills I need them to have. I can't get employees that stay. And the amount of conversations I've had with folks that have uttered those three things is pretty staggering. And so what we're starting to see is companies are coming to us and working with us to set up internship programs so that they can take students out of our programs that will have applicable skills for their workplace and teach them about their business and see if these are students that are going to work into the future of their organization, grow them up.
How tough is it to establish an intern program? I remember 20 years ago, 25 years ago, we looked at into it, and there was so much paperwork required that it became counterproductive for small little guys like us to entertain it, just because, you know, class credits for the reporting stuff, for the weekly reports, blah, 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 that it became really, it was almost easier not to than it
was
to
do. Right, no, I hear you on
that.
But
I would imagine things have changed a little bit in that area.
I think we have a much stronger structure in place. We have a cooperative work study program that's in place. We have staff that are available to help put those programs in place and manage them. I think it's a matter of the intent that you go into this process with. If you're looking at trying to find cheap labor and you're basically saying to yourself, well, instead of paying somebody regular wages and benefits, I'm going to go hire an internship and basically have them do work that I was already going to pay somebody else to do, that's not going to float. It won't pass muster and go through the system. If you're saying to yourself, I want to provide our local youth opportunities to learn about business opportunities, about career opportunities within my business, I want to share what I know with someone else and see if that individual is someone who potentially could work in my company long term, then that's something that can be set up into an internship. And it is not a difficult thing to put into place.
You talk about the dollars and cents side of it.
Right.
It's not free labor.
No, in a lot of cases where it's paying minimum wage, but what we're starting to see is that donors are coming to us and they're giving us a substantial amount of funds to essentially set up an account where they're going to pay stipends. So I'm going to hire some interns and maybe I'll have one or two a semester that work inside my business. I'm going to pay them a monthly stipend. And if they complete the work successfully over the course of 4 months, a semester, then they'll get a double stipend, for instance, at the end as kind of a reward, encouragement to continue. And it's a very simple system to put into place and seems to be very effective.
4 month windows, is that the minimum?
I think
is that the maximum?
Realistically, within a semester, you're looking at 3 to 4 months, but you also can do several semesters. We're obviously running year-round, so it's just a matter of what's appropriate for your business. Some of the businesses that have approached us are only going to be busy in summer and fall. Others are looking
also seasonal stuff would make a ton of
I think
that would make a ton of sense if that's the slot you were looking to fill rather than. You know, an ongoing position. You know, move somebody in from an internship into a permanent. That's a different ballgame.
Yeah, we already have a whole group of companies that are coming out, and they are hiring our students before they ever graduate. They're coming into our the Police Academy, Computer Information Systems, our Automotive Program. They're coming in. They have relationships with our faculty. They're cherry-picking our students. A lot of students are put in the situation of, geez, do I finish my certificate or program or degree, or do I go work because this guy is making me an offer? Hopefully, you can work something out in the process and accomplish both goals so that you set yourself up long-term. But it is an interesting job market at this time. If you want to have a career path and learn these types of skills and stay local, there's businesses that are willing to work with you to get that done.
KINS News and Information Time is 8:42. We'll be back with more from Marty Quello.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good Good morning, KINS. News and Information Times, 847. Final couple minutes this morning with Marty Quello. Marty, if folks want to get involved either with the internship, with a sports dinner, or whether it's with the foundation or the alumni efforts or rejuvenation, where do they go to find out a little bit more to make sure that they want to do it or participate or to really get involved?
Two easy ways. Either go to our website, redwoods.edu, or just call CR and ask for the athletic department in order to get tickets to the dinner and auction, or just go ahead and ask for the foundation, and that'll get transferred over to my office, and we can talk.
The internships, is that run through your office also, or
yes.
Is that Marla?
Well, it's kind of one of those yes and no's. It's a group of us. It's a team approach, right? So our cooperative work study is housed over in career technical education, but that cooperative work study is for both career tech and also for academic. So it's for all our students in whatever program that they're in. I'm the money guy. I'm the marketing guy. So I'm working with donors and businesses in order to establish the relationships and put it into play. And then cooperative work study is going to lay in all of the paperwork and the process.
How long does it take to establish an intern? Pre-selection.
In terms of putting just an internship program?
Everything together, yeah, so that you're ready and now you can start looking for
an intern. To be honest, I think allowing yourself a couple of months so that we can talk it out and make sure what we're putting into place makes sense. You know, it's one of those questions. Anything can be expedited. The more, right?
Sure, throw enough money at it.
Right.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, honestly, I think having conversations and putting things into place properly up front, it's just like we were talking about. And anybody can have a great idea. Can you implement it and can you sustain it? I'm one of those types of people that when we go into something like this, I'm trying to build something that's going to last, and I don't want to have to rebuild it every couple of months because you as a business owner don't have the time to do that, and neither do I. So how can we be the most efficient?
Is there an ideal template if somebody wanted to look? Is there a spot to say, this is in general what you're looking at, these are general requirements, this is what is needed, so that somebody can take a look, see, before they get too involved with and say, yeah, it really isn't for me, or hey, this is cool stuff?
And I think that's an interesting question. I don't know if we necessarily have all of those type of guidelines in place, and it's probably because it becomes so industry specific.
Sure, depending on what your needs are.
Exactly. Yeah. And so we really have tailored these so far based on the individual businesses that we've worked with.
Well, sounds like a cool new area to jump into.
Well, it benefits the college and it benefits the community, right?
Well, don't forget the kids.
Exactly.
Yeah. That would be part of the community.
That's part of this.
I thought that was going to be your response. Thanks for coming by. See everybody tomorrow.